Praise the Lord. It is good to be back here again. It's the last time we were here. It was in 2000. We don't come home on many furloughs. This is our third furlough in 21 years. Up until this is the longest one we've ever taken. And we've taken 20 months in the first 20 years. And so we bought our tickets last week. We're going back July the 6th. And so please pray for us. We're going back home.
Yeah,
amen. That's where our home is now, and that's where the Lord wants us. And so we're just thankful for the faithful support this church has given us for many, 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 many years. And your pastor is always, he's just so full of energy. I like being around people that's exciting, amen? So you got to put up with me today. But nothing I can do about it. You'll get him back next week. I was going to preach a message on the resurrection, but for time's sake, I wouldn't get it done, so I want to preach. I'm just going to teach you a Sunday school lesson. Amen? Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, and Matthew 13. Make sure you stay in those three places. I'll go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13. Jesus is the first and last, the beginning and the end. He's a keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He has risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him. Leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him, and the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. He's light, love, longevity, and Lord. He's goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love, his burden is light, and his goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of days, the ruler of rulers, and leader of leaders. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, and never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he is with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides. When I face death, he carries me home. He is all I need, and all that I need, he is. He is God. He is faithful. I am his. And he is mine. Glory to God. That is our risen Savior. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, Matthew 13. Jesus often spoke to men who were called his disciples. He spoke to them in parables. Now, parables you well know. You've been taught well, I'm sure, around here. A parable is an earthly story to tell a heavenly meaning. And a spiritual truth is applied to this earthly story, so we can understand it from a spiritual perspective. So I want to speak to you on a very familiar parable. It's recorded in three of the Gospels this morning. It's a parable of the seed and the sower. Now, the thing of it is, we serve a resurrected Savior. So he gave us this before he went back, and he expects us to fulfill what he left in the blessed book. Amen. And so I'm going to teach this parable from a different slant. I know it's a very familiar one, and please don't let the familiarity turn you off. Now, as you know, you talk about the parable of the seed and sower. Basically, it's talking about a farmer who goes out to sow seed, and then he plants the seed, and the seed, of course, is supposed to bring forth some fruit. So as this farmer goes out to sow, he says he sows seed in different places, and sometimes it brought forth fruit, sometimes it brought forth nothing. And so as I studied the parable, I noticed some things that were different in the three places that it's recorded. Now, please know that I believe that everything in the Bible is true.
Yes. Amen.
There are no contradictions.
Amen.
In the Bible.
Amen.
Unless you own something other than a King James Bible.
Yeah, right.
I've got a new King James Bible, amen. I just bought it not long ago.
Yeah.
But that's the only one I would have.
Amen.
But somebody says, well, it says this over here and it says something different over there. So it must be a contradiction. No, it's not. It's not. There's always an explanation, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. where we get confused. You know, they get if you go to the bookstore, and by the way, the bookstores in Australia, I don't know what they are like here, but in Australia, it's the new age of taking over. And, you know, you see these books on the bookshelf, contradictions in the Bible. You know, you'd be wise never to read something like that.
Right.
Devil wants to mess you up, amen?
Amen.
So there's no contradictions. I want to show you something this morning I believe might interest you. Our first reading is in Mark chapter 4. Verses 2 through 8. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, it sprang up, and increased, and brought forth. Now please, if you write in your Bibles, I want you to underline this next phrase, if not, put it on a piece of paper somewhere, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be back here. Now I wanted so much to bring something on the resurrection, but I don't believe that's what you want done. So God, I pray now the Sunday school class is in here to be taught. Now Lord, may our minds be stayed upon what's happening here, not the Easter dinner this afternoon.
Yes.
So God, I pray that our goal is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn something. Yes. That we can be better Christians because of it. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I teach, and may we be not only hearers, but doers of the word also, and I'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, hold your hand. I'm not going to tell you this last time. Three places I'm going to go back and forth. So hold your hand there and go to Matthew 13 for our second reading. Now, remember in Mark chapter 4, you mark down, and it fell upon the ground and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Please remember that. Now in Matthew, we have the same parable being taught. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. That's just like Mark said, wasn't it? And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, just like Mark said. But notice what it says here. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You say, that's different. Over in Mark, he said some 30, some 60, some 100. Here he says 160. And 30. And in which one's right? Why is it different? Why would he say in one book 30, 60, and 100? Another book he says 100, 60, and 30. Now Luke chapter 8. Same parable again. We get this time Luke is recording the parable. Luke's going to talk about some of the same things all over again. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. That's just like Matthew, and that's just like Mark said. Now, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. Where's 30? Where's 60? This time he uses only the word 100-fold. So if we have seed that is sown, and it says in all of them that it was sown on good ground, and that the good ground brought forth fruit, and that it brought forth fruit in Mark, some 30, some 60, 100, and then in Matthew it said it brought forth fruit 100, 60, and 30, but Luke, when it fell on the good ground, it brought forth 100-fold, period. I want to ask you something. Where's the 30 and the 60? Where'd they go to? Now, if there are no contradictions in the Bible, and there are none, there has to be an explanation. It has to have something in here kind of explain to us the difference between 30-fold producing good ground, 60-fold producing good ground, and 100-fold producing good ground. Now, if we're talking about a field where a sower went out to plant, it might have to do something to do with getting the weeds out. By the way, how many farmers do we have in here? One. Dying breed, brother. How many would-be farmers have we got that's already put in some tomato plants already or getting ready to? Amen. You're helping our economy, man. Amen. But almost all of us have grown something in our lives. Amen. We stick something together. But let's face it, when you go out and you buy your plants, you don't just go out here and you say, well, I got a little plot of weeds here. I'm just going to go in between them and I'm going to put this in there. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because the weeds takes away the moisture from what you're trying to grow. Any farmer knows that. Amen. And so it may have been here. Maybe it was because they had left the weeds there. Maybe it had to do something to do with putting fertilizer down. Maybe it had to do with how well it was watered. And I mean, in Australia, we finally in the past couple of months, we finally have kind of gotten a little bit of a drought. Where we lived in Toowoomba, it hadn't rained for so long. Our reservoir levels were down to 8% and 9%. We were only allowed to take 4-minute showers and wasn't allowed to hook a hose up to our house to wash our car or do anything else. You wasn't even allowed to have a hose hooked up, and because we're so lacking of water. So maybe it had to do with lack of water. Maybe it had to do something with the soil. You know, a lot of people ask me, I got to stay here. A lot of people have asked me, you've been away from America for a long time, 10 years this last stretch. What do you miss the most? I've been asked that question 100 times. Nothing. And the longer I'm here, the more I don't miss. Amen. But when we first came back, there was a couple of things. What were you looking forward to having that you hadn't had for a long time? Well, one of them was really a good tomato that tastes like tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, even over there, because of the soil that we have, everybody knows it depends on what soil you plant your stuff in is what it's going to taste like. Over there, we have tomatoes that come right off the plant there that taste like hothouse tomatoes, and they're grown right in the ground. So I was looking for a nice, juicy, good-tasting tomato. And by the way, it was good to have one. But other than that, I haven't missed much. But anyway, some soil produces real well, and some soil just doesn't produce much, and then other soil doesn't produce hardly anything at all. Now, that's the physical application, but what about the spiritual? Remember when we started? I told you a parable is an earthly story to show a heavenly or a spiritual meaning. So what's he trying to teach us here? He's got to be teaching us something, otherwise it wouldn't be said, it wouldn't be a parable. Let's go back to Mark, and I want to show you what I believe. This is my opinion. You may have your own. What I believe he's trying to show us. And by the way, you do the study a little bit more, and I believe you might even find out more. I don't have time to get into too much, all of it this morning, but the parables, remember the parables mentioned 30, 60, 100, 100, 60, 30, or 100, period. Now, if you had a choice, well, let me ask you something. How many farmers in here, and we're all farmers because you're going to plant something. How many farmers in here would be satisfied if you went out and you bought 10 tomato plants, and you put them in, and only one third of them came up? How many would be happy with that? I didn't think so. How many would be happy if you went out and you bought 10 tomato plants and 6 out of the 10 came up? Well, yeah, it's a little over half. I mean, well, I got news for you. If I'm going out there and I'm going to pay all that money for these tomato plants, I want them all to produce, amen? I want every one of them to be putting out as much as they can possibly put out. But my question is, why wouldn't we want 100-fold producing plants? I mean, we want that out of our Christianity, don't we? We want to be 100-fold producing Christians, I would think. But anyway, let's look and see if we can figure out the difference between the 30, 60, and 100 passage and the 160, 30 passage and 100 passage of Scripture. Back in Mark chapter 4, notice in verse 20, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it." The good ground people who produce some 30, some 60, some 100 are people who hear the word and receive it. So a person who hears the word of God and receives the word of God, they begin to produce fruit in their lives. They begin to produce some things that were not there before. I mean, when I first got saved, I had no idea what the Bible was about. I was in Bible college 10 months after I got saved, and a professor would say, "Well, you know, you all know that very familiar story." I'd raise my hand. I'd say, "No, sir, I don't know anything about the Bible. I just got saved a few months ago. Please stop and explain it to me. I don't really know what all is going on, but I want to learn." So a new Christian is somebody who would receive the Word of God, hear the Word of God, and receive the Word of God. So they, because they've heard the Word, and the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So what happens is, as a person hears the Word of God, and they receive the Word of God, they begin to produce some things in their life, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now go over to Matthew 13. Told you we'd go back and forth, and we've got a lot more to do. Short time to do it in. Now remember, we're going to come out of this with 100, 60, and 30, where the other one was 30, 60, 100. And 30, 60, 100, they heard and did what? Received. Now how about the person who is 100, 60, and 30? Look at chapter 13, look at verse 23. "But he that received good seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." He hears the word, and you just have to put in your mind, if you hear it, you got to receive it. So this fella hears the word, receives the word, but not only that, he understands. Like I was there in the Bible college class, I didn't understand. I heard, I received, I didn't understand at that point in time. You know there's a difference between receiving and understanding? I mean, you can hear a message and yet not get it. You ever talk to somebody and you talk and you try to explain all this thing, and when you get done, you say, "What do you think about that?" And they say, "Think about what?" Why? Because what happens is you said something to them, they heard you, they received what you, they weren't not paying attention, but just didn't understand what you were saying. See, when I first went to Australia, my favorite word when I first arrived in Australia 21 years ago was, "Huh?" I mean, they would have some unique Aussie terms, and they'd speak so fast, and they'd use these terms in between with this accent. I heard what they said, I received what they said, but I didn't understand what they said. Why? Because a different word was used. Fair dinkum. What did I just say? You don't know. That's right. I didn't either. But fair dinkum means, yeah, that fair dinkum, that's true. They, you know, if they say you're a fair dinkum bloke, that means you're a really good guy, and they like you. Amen? And you're true blue. And I went to, I had the pleasure of going to Papua New Guinea 3 or 4 years ago, and we did a pastor school over here with 100 Papua New Guinean pastors. And they use a language called pidgin. And pidgin is totally, that's a mixture of English words mixed with, I don't know what. I have no idea. So when I first got over there, you know, I mean, they come, "Hey, mi hama mas long lookum you." You know what I said? Mi no savi. Now what did I just say? You just heard it. You just received it, but you didn't understand it. What that meant was, "Good morning, it's good to see you." But I said, "I don't understand." But anyway, I may say some things today, you'll hear them, but you may not understand. So what is the difference that in a person who brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, and a person who brings forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. It's like a pessimist and an optimist. Now, we all know what that is. And I know you've heard this story. You've heard about the shoe salesman, the pessimist. A pessimist shoe salesman. They sent him over to Africa. And he was there for 30 days, and he called back home, and he said, "Hey, send me a ticket home. Nobody over here wears shoes." So they sent the optimist over there. 30 days later, he called back, and he says, "Hey, send me all the shoes you can. Nobody wears shoes over here." It just depends how you look at it, amen? So it's a matter of how they understand. So the 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold person is a person who only hears the word, receives the word, but they also understand the word. Now let's look at the last one in Luke chapter 8. Now we're going to see the one who produces a 100-fold. It doesn't say anything about 30. It doesn't say anything about 60. It says he produces 100-fold, period. Look at verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart." That's different. Didn't say anything about the hearts of the other two. This person has a good and honest heart. I don't know about you, but a good and honest heart goes a long way with me.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, when I was growing up, my grandfather, he didn't need a lawyer. He'd say, his word was his bond. He'd say, "Okay, let's shake on that." And you didn't have to worry about it at all, because that deal was going to go through and nobody would cheat you out of anything because they trusted you. Because they had good and honest hearts back in those days. So who is a person who brings forth 100-fold? Is a person who has an honest and good heart. Not only that, that's not done yet. He not only has a good and honest heart, but they that on the good ground are they which an honest good heart, having heard the word, keep it. They keep it. Now remember, they all heard the word. One heard the word and received it. The other heard the word, received it, and understood it. But this one heard the word, received the word, understood the word, but he also kept the word. Have you ever said to your child, "Stop that right now"? And you know they heard you. And they know you know they understood you. But 5 minutes later, they're doing the same thing over again. Amen. Why is that? See, that's not a 100-fold producing person. You know why? Because a 100-fold producing person is a person who has an honest and good heart, who hears the word, receives the word, understands the word, and then keeps the word. You know, it's one thing. Do you know how much of this Bible you believe? No, you don't. Only what you keep. If you don't keep it, I know it says that, but you know, I'm a sizzler Christian. Salad bar Christians we got today. I'll take this. I like that. And I like this part. But I'm not going to take the rest of that stuff. Amen. I mean, you only believe what you keep out of this blessed book. Watch what else he does. He's not done. He keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. Now, what that means is, with patience, that means he brings forth fruit continually. Listen, if you have a fruit tree and you plant that fruit tree gets big enough. At one time of the year, normally one time of the year, every fruit tree will bring forth fruit. But it has a season that it does it in. It doesn't do it year round all the time, amen. But the 100-fold producer would be a fruit tree that brings forth fruit all the time. The 100-fold producer doesn't have seasons of times when they're not producing. I mean, in Australia, I had a saying for them. They were called Roller Coaster Baptists. They'd be up this week, man, they'd be on a high shouting glory to God. Next week, you couldn't find them under a rock. And we all have that, amen. So let's put a spiritual application. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, and the Bible says you must if you're going to go to heaven, amen. Are you a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold? Are you one of those people who hear the Bible, you receive the Bible because you're in church, you're here every week, and you receive it, but that's far as it goes. And may I say to you, if you haven't been saved for very long, that's all that's expected of you. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the work that you may grow thereby. So we don't, you know, and no pastor expects a whole lot out of somebody who's only been saved for a few months or a few weeks, amen. But that kind of person will usually, they'll come to church Sunday morning, but you'll put your Bible away this afternoon, this evening. You don't pick up the Bible again until next Sunday. But wait a minute. You hear the word, you receive the word, but that's if that's all you do, I don't care how long you've been saved, if that's all you do, then you are an example of the 30-fold producing type person. You have potential to do more that this time you're not doing. You have potential to bring forth fruit that you're not doing right now. Now, you hear the Bible, you receive the Bible, but you either you don't understand it, you don't want to understand it, and then you don't keep it, and then you don't bring forth fruit and patience. If that describes you, you're 30-fold. You have to figure it out for yourself. I mean, you trusted in Christ your Savior, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't change how you walk, doesn't change how you talk, doesn't change how you give, doesn't change where you go, doesn't change much about you at all. And so all you do, you hear and you receive it, but you never apply it. Then you're 30-fold. But you could be a 60-fold. If you'll take that, you receive, and you understand it. Because I got news for you. The more you understand, I'm trying to figure out Adobe Photoshop. I don't know if anybody got that, but I mean, I got this program trying to do some photos and do this thing on the computer. I got it, and I bought it, and I received it, and I'm looking at it, and I don't understand it. But I'm learning, you know something, but I keep going back and I keep trying to learn a little bit more. And the more I try it, the more I'm starting to understand. And the more pictures I'm able to produce on that thing and the better quality they're starting to get, amen? So if that's you, you'll understand it, you'll be a 60-fold Christian. But remember when we started, nobody wanted to be a 30-fold, very few want to be 60-fold. We all wanted to be, if it's possible, to be a 100-fold producing type Christian. People who produce fruit continually. If you produce fruit with patience, what that means is you produce continually. Things don't stop you from producing fruit. You keep producing fruit. And let me give you one more thought, and then I'm done. I want you to mark a word in each passage we read. Mark chapter 4, in verse 20, I want you to mark a word here. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear. Notice that word here. Mark, underline that word here. Now in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, look in verse 23. But he that received good seed in the good ground is he that heareth. Mark that word, heareth. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Mark the word heard, having heard the word. And you say, well, you're marking the same word. No, I'm not. They're totally different. Here is what he's requesting out of the 30-fold Christian. Sometimes you don't hear very well, and children are like that, amen? Teenagers especially. Listen, listen, listen! Don't you hear me? Yeah, they're hearing you. And so you're asking them to do something they're not doing at this time. You have to keep on them. Now, the 60-fold... In Matthew, he is the one that heareth. That's present tense. In other words, that means he's presently hearing. He's not being asked to hear. He is hearing. Now, the 100-fold Christian is he is one that's already heard. You see, with some people, you have to stay them all the time. You have to just keep at them, keep at them, and keep at them. And you know, I mean, oftentimes you have to do that with a child, amen? And you have to say it over and over. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't go there. When they get a little older, you're not supposed to have saying that, amen. They should already be hearing. And when you're older, I mean, you certainly shouldn't have to say to a 18-year-old, don't touch that hot stove. I mean, I've already heard, amen. So let me ask you, are you a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold? If you're a child of God, you should be a 100-fold producing type Christian, period. You shouldn't be satisfied with just coming to church and receiving. You should be out there telling others, amen, you got some nice new tracks, and I've got some, I'll be handing them out. You ought to be out there trying to tell others and trying to get them in church also, amen? Yes. You're in a position where you need to hear this morning, you are hearing, or you have heard. There's been times in Australia, you'll notice, we may not get to show our presentation. It's a big day, and I'm worried about if we don't. We don't have air-conditioned buildings most of the time, and we have to wear a short sleeve with a tie, and that's about all we can wear because it gets very hot over there. And so sometimes people come to our church, and they'll be sitting there, and they'll get very tired, and all of a sudden I look out, and they're sleeping. Now, I know that doesn't happen here. So I'll be preaching along, and all of a sudden I'll stop. I'll just stop. Now, the person that is hearing has heard that I've stopped. But the person who is sleeping doesn't know if I've stopped or not until, did you hear what I said? And that woke all of you up, I'm sure. All of a sudden, that person's been sleeping. He's alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic. And he's thinking, what in the world? Oh, is it time to quit? Is the preacher done? Are we going home now? They have not a clue what's going on. You know why? Because they weren't producing anything but sleep. I'm afraid what I've seen since I've come back, America needs a revival. When our own president says, we're not a Christian nation anymore, when our own president and Hillary Clinton turns against Israel, God help us. You know what that's saying to me? Why aren't we rising up? Why aren't we really standing up and saying to these folks, you know, we're 100-fold producing Christians. We're going to do something about it. But I'm afraid we got too many that are sleeping today. So are you a 30-fold? Are you a 60-fold? Are you a 100-fold? If you're 30-fold, move up. Amen. If you're 60-fold, move up. If you're 100-fold, don't quit. Amen. Don't move. In fact, you know what everybody says, what every athlete says? I gave it 110%. Yeah. You know, everybody saying, man, I'll tell you what we need today is some second mile Christianity. I got news for you. If we get first mile Christianity, our attendance would double and our offerings would double too. If we just get the first mile, it'd be a big change in our lives, amen? So you figure out where you are, and thank you again for your patience. And I hope that if you're in a lower place, you want to move up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach. God, I realize it wasn't on the resurrection, but it's what you wanted, I think. So, God, I pray you'd have your will and way, and I'm praying for the next service, especially that one that's going to be here is unsaved. Today, may that be the day of their salvation. They'll be 30-fold producing Christians, but thank God they'll be Christians. So, Lord, give the pastor power upon his ministry and the word, and may it go out and do exactly what you want done. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher. Amen.